2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
Around the world, echo the news. Russia had blasted a man-made moon into outer space.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Well, I'm not a crook.
I learned it by watching you.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We are calling it iPhone.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center.
I am inevitable.
Hey. Glad to be here. This is Mike, the Bullcat, and here with the rest of my friends who introduce themselves.
And this is Brett, once known as the Beast.
Once known.
Always known as the Beast. Yeah. And this is Care Bear. That's it. That's all I got.
This is Doomsday Dennis, appropriately bringing up the rear.
Oh, that's, I don't know how I'm going to take that. So, all right.
So our first sponsor. Yeah.
Well, before we get to that, I kind of just wanted to know how you guys been. Is there anything happened to you guys? Any exciting stories? You ready for Christmas? What we got going on? Nothing?
Well.
Oh, we're still going clockwise?
We're never quiet. And all of a sudden, we're quiet.
No kidding.
I've had nothing. You know, here's what I've had that's exciting to me. My new job. I got off work today at 1, and I don't go back till the 4th of January.
Doesn't that feel good?
Paid. They're calling it wellness days.
Okay.
Anybody ever heard of a wellness? That's fantastic.
How many job vacancies do they got where you work?
I don't know. I tell you, it's been a really nice change.
Are you an executive? That sounds like a pretty executive style deal.
I'm a nobody. I'm an absolute nobody.
You're level 3. Are you kidding?
I'm a nobody. So
nobody level 3.
It's been great. I'm very excited to get to spend time with my family. I've spent more time with my family in the last 3 months than I have in the last 3 years. And that's not an exaggeration. That's pretty great. So
that is nice.
Is that it?
Yeah. Well, I'm getting ready. We're going to have a belated Christmas this year. Finally worked out all the details from everybody that needs to get together to be able to get together on the same day. So, and it gives me a couple of extra days to finish my Christmas shopping, gift wrapping.
We're going to have two Christmases because my mom's in Texas visiting my sister. She won't be back until the 12th or something. We're going to have one on the 14th. But I'll tell you a story because my mom won't ever listen to this anyway. But I'll tell you a story that happened. So she went to my sister just had a brand new house built, big fancy house built down in Houston. And they moved in. And my mom went to visit them. And first day, my mom's there. She goes to clean her teeth in the sink, right? And she plugs the sink and she fills the sink with water, clean her teeth. And she walks away several hours later. They realize the sink's still on as there's flooding coming through the dining room ceiling.
Oh my gosh.
Their brand new house. And you know, she's not going to listen to this, so I can tell that story. She doesn't know I know that even. No. But my sister told me, she said she doesn't know you know that, so don't say nothing. So, but I think we're safe. So.
She's going to listen to this.
No.
It's just the way the cosmos works.
She can't dial her phone half the time. She's not listening to this, so I love her.
I never get too excited about Christmas as an adult. I go to the kids' house and open up some presents, but I'll be glad when it's over.
How about you, Brett? Anything?
Beast? I don't think we have any particular plans. We're still grieving a loss. So.
Yeah, we have been. We've not in any way, shape, or form like you and your wife, but we have been grieving with you, and we're, yeah. Still always here for you.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
You bet.
But,
I guess I should probably say that I'm actually happy to be here for Christmas. Yeah. I don't believe that we had recorded a session since I had double coronary bypass surgery.
That's right. And you're here.
Yeah, that's new.
And here I am still kicking.
Yeah. So, hey. Nice.
I'm glad you're here, Dennis.
By the way, Dennis, thank you for still kicking. We've had enough.
I like being on the right side of the dirt.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, I guess we'll get to our topic here in a second. Our topic is how the pandemic changed our lives, like the differences now between before it started and then. But before we do that, let's have a word from our first sponsor, because we actually have sponsors. So here we go. Ever run out of crazy? But when you join the MTG Bank, you never will. That'll never happen. From lizard people to a Jewish space force to cities in the center of the earth. And if you join now, you get a free link to 4chan. Because crazy? Well, that's in all of us. But batshit insane? That's only in Marjorie. MTG Crazy Bank. Join now.
We're back.
We're back. Perfect timing. We are, yeah. All right. So, topic one, you know, how the pandemic changed our lives. Who's got thoughts on that?
Oh, well, all my favorite restaurants close early now.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, that's where most of this, I think, takes place, is the move from physically doing things to doing things either online or in an isolated way. We used the drive-through a lot more when we did go out, but we went out a lot less. And we still do, largely, if we're going to go out to get some food, it's typically drive-through at this point.
And you see, I think that's an unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
In the sense that people need to be face-to-face with each other. That's how we communicate the best, mm-hmm. when you can get the full verbal and nonverbal thing, you know. Yeah. And we like being around other people.
Yeah.
And the pandemic has kind of made social distancing, it's not necessarily a six-foot gap on the floor, it can literally be just not connected to hardly anybody. You don't have the human face-to-face interaction.
Yeah.
And that's not good for society to be able to solve its problems and come to consensus on how to deal with the inevitable things that are going to crop up.
That's kind of one of the first things that I jotted down in my notes. I kind of just kind of wrote what I was feeling, and I, you know, it, we sort of interpret our world through observation, and it's a lot of it's based on social feedback. And you have less of that. So, I mean, even like the biggest inverts have limits. You know, we all have to have that kind of social interaction, or we can go a little bit nutty.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't, even if you don't go nutty, you kind of go astray. I'm thinking here of Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber.
Yeah.
You know, I read his manifesto. Okay. And there was some just crazy stuff in it, but there was some legitimate stuff in it too. But he isolated himself. He didn't talk about this with his friends at his house or at the bar or in a restaurant or whatever. He isolated himself in a cabin and wrote this stuff and didn't say anything to anybody, and there was nobody there to say to him, "Well, Ted, I see where you're coming from, but that's a little bit crazy." You know?
Yeah, I saw.
And
the
on
China.
The other hand, right. He had a brother who also was smart, like he was, and also tended to go off into the Texas countryside, where he went. But he made connections in that community, and he talked to people, and so that social isolation can allow you to get kind of off the beaten path of what most people think of as sane, rational behavior.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's the first thing that almost everybody thinks of when I talk to people. It's just the fact that there's the gathering. And people feel weird about the gatherings. I mean, we're getting ready to go on a vacation, and we are very excited about it, but we feel very weird about it.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be on a boat, isolated with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And it's a scary thing. Something I never would have been scared of, you know, years prior. So, you know, there's a bit of a fear that's in you that didn't, or in me at least, it didn't used to be in me.
That's, you know, for me, it's affected me. It's really extremely frustrating how this continues to linger.
and
affect our... I'm frustrated by our failure as a society to handle a problem.
Well, there's a massive outbreak in China right now.
Uh-huh.
I think they said their caseload was doubling every day.
It was just the way people politicized it, and they continue, and we're more polarized, not only through our isolation, which has been extremely sad. I've lost close friends, really close friends, and I still grieve that. But it's also just frustrating how our irresponsibility and this childish cry for freedom, and it's almost like on the verge of anarchy.
It reminds
because
me
we
of,
can't tackle a problem together.
Right. It reminds me of like things like the mask mandates and stuff remind me of, but on a much larger scale, much more serious scale, but they remind me of when I was in high school. That's when the seatbelt laws were put into place. And, you'd have thought you were just taking away every right the person had just because you wanted to try to save their lives. Uh-huh. So, I mean, another thing I put down here, I only put two things down, so I wasn't thinking that hard, I guess. In the 1990s, there were anti-vaxxers that kind of went on this big run for, the vaccines are going to cause autism or whatnot. And it went for quite a while. And then I think in 2010, there was a study finally that was done, and it was proven to not be at all related or whatnot. But the anti-vaxxers at the time were never the hardcore right wing
they were kind of,
Republicans or whatever.
They were the other side.
They were the other side. They're like the far left wing crazies opposed to the far right wing crazies, right? And when they were in, but now because of this vaccine, it's the opposite. And anti-vaxxer percentage, people that were anti-vaxxers in the 90s were around 2%. They're around 8% now. So it's not just the COVID vaccine they're against. These people that are against the COVID vaccine, it's gone up 6% after they've proven
that.
That's total anti-vaxxers. That's not COVID anti-vaxxing percent is way higher.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about people that don't want the measles vaccine anymore. Right. They wouldn't take a polio vaccine. They wouldn't take anything.
Polio
you know.
In New York.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. why have these things been extinct? Because we've been taking vaccines, and that's how they've done it. But so to me, that's kind of crazy because you have this thing that was seriously a far left idea that was proven wrong, and then it was kind of a nobody. It shrunk to almost nothing for 10 years from 2010-ish to 2020, and then because of this vaccine, it's like okay, we're gonna double down. They always double down. We're not gonna believe in any vaccine now, and that's in 2 years, a 6% increase in.
That's
Mike, what you were saying was a higher percentage, but there is, in the COVID vaccine itself, there are people that won't take the COVID vaccine, but they will take a measles vaccine.
But, this is coming from the very top. A failure of leadership from the very, very top.
Yes, yes.
And bring it, our last budget, just over the compromise currently. The Republicans will not agree on this budget unless they drop the requirement in the military to do the vaccines wouldn't be required. How can you send a military into a battlefield? You're susceptible.
Yeah.
How
many Americans Americans have died from COVID?
100,000.
A little over a million.
Yeah.
So the other thing that has bothered me a lot is the news factions that are on that side aren't putting those numbers out there. They're putting numbers like 7,000 or something because they're claiming that all the other ones are linked to something else. You can't link
it
because
it was count that.
Heart
it was
disease or they were old or whatever.
Want to count healthy people who died from COVID.
If you got pneumonia in the hospital while you were recovering from your heart attack and it killed you. Pneumonia killed you.
I may have been more susceptible to it because of being in a weakened condition, but it was that disease that pushed me over the edge.
My Uncle Paul died of COVID, but he was also going through cancer treatment. That's the kind of person they would say, well, he died because of cancer. Well, you don't know. No. My mom kicked stage four cancer's ass twice. You don't know what's going to happen, you know. But that's what I mean. So that like the numbers aren't accurate coming from. And people say, "Oh, how do they not know?" Because they don't listen to anything else. They don't watch anything else. That's all they watch. But the anti-vaccine thing is really
we continue to lose time in sitting around during the pandemic, just watching TV. But even now, limiting ourselves, where we're going to go, or fear when we go somewhere. It continues to beat us down, and we still cannot form a united front on how to attack it.
You know, I'm going to go back to the Ted Kaczynski thing, because one of the problems we have now that we didn't used to have as a nation is this aggravated susceptibility to all kinds of erroneous information and being manipulated, because we don't communicate, and so we listen to our own little pocket of information, and we become influenced by that and can't consider any other opinion. And that effect is always, we've always kind of been prone to that, but with the advent of communication through the internet and cell phones and things like that, where literally somebody who wants to influence you in a certain way can reach right into your life on a daily basis and feed you what they want to feed you. And maybe it starts out by fanning your fears so that you'll be afraid of something and therefore wanting to seek some kind of security, looking for an answer, you know. People who want to structure society to their own benefit have a great opportunity to influence people at a real personal level, and they are fanning the flames of distrust. Back, I grew up in the era when the polio vaccine was invented and the oral vaccine, you know. I knew people, kids, and
a lot of friends,
parents of some of my friends that had polio, you know. And when the vaccines came out, and the government said, this is good for you. Nobody of any significant numbers questioned it. Everybody went and got their shots. If you're listening to this in Kansas, it might be interesting to know that some of the first public inoculations were done in Protection, Kansas, because of the name of the town, you know. But so whereas before we used to have more trust in our institutions and our community thing, we're susceptible to being fractionated, because it's kind of like in the cartoons with the devil on your shoulder whispering in your ear,
right,
you know, and you can't shut it out. You know, it can reach you in ways that are unfiltered. This is where the Kaczynski thing comes in. They're unfiltered because you're getting this and you're not really talking about it or getting feedback from.
But there's no angel on the other shoulder that's giving you the other information, right?
Well, it's also like in the cartoons where one or the other knocks the other one off.
Right. Yeah.
No. Anyway, we've aggravated the problem by the fact that we can mislead people with erroneous, real sounding information so easily.
Well, there's
and
always
people will manipulate that.
There's always been certain things that were united fronts, right? I mean, vaccines were a united front, infrastructure was a united front. There was always certain parts of government that were, you know, kind of both parties were disagree with a lot of things. We're like, okay, we gotta get this stuff done because
Public health moving, used right? to be one of those
that's
things.
That's what I'm saying. Vaccines, yeah. Public health. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There were always certain united fronts.
Now they want to kill Dr. Fauci.
We had a leader who threw away, who ignored the plans that were laid by a previous administration to saying, look, a pandemic's going to come along someday. This is what you need to do to take care of it. Right. And we ignored it. Mm-hmm. And of all those, what, 100,000 people that are dead, I bet at least half of them shouldn't be.
Oh, definitely.
At least half, if well, not if more.
Work for the, yeah.
Well, trust, faith, not just the general concept of faith in people, kind of probably at some point shifted. There was trusting people passing along information because they were connected, and in theory connected to someone of renown who was an expert in what they were talking about. But some of it got easily kind of shifted, especially with all the potential ways to connect nowadays, to someone is connected to someone who knows something that maybe is a secret, and they think that that somehow, because of some distrust, they would rather trust a person who apparently knows a secret. And we see that a lot right now, but no one ever comes out and actually fleshes out the secret and puts it into the light. They right. just say, I know a secret, trust me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking about this too just the other day, because the distrust issue, mm-hmm. that it kind of has come to a head with the pandemic, you know, but we kind of been laying the groundwork for it for a while, with a society in which increasingly fewer numbers of the extremely wealthy and powerful tend to benefit more than the common man.
Yeah.
And the government, in large measure, and even worse since the Citizens United decision thing, the government in large measure has abandoned its responsibility to be sort of a leveler of the playing field. And I don't mean that everybody is identical and equal, and but the disparities between the really rich and most everybody else, and to the extent that government has allowed that to happen, you see all kinds of people are saying, well, you can't trust the government. And that was one of the things that used to bridge some of the gaps, and it doesn't anymore. People don't. We've laid the groundwork for a long time.
Well, it was like the perfect storm. You had like this virus that was one of the most difficult things we've ever, and we had the poorest leadership and the worst virus, and everything is like a perfect storm.
Right, that was just nailed us. We're getting close to time. I wanted to bring one thing up real quick. It's interesting how fast things go back, because when COVID was at the heart, it was, you know, if somebody didn't feel good, oh, stay at home, which is what we should have been doing
right
all along, even before COVID hit, right? I mean, you don't feel good, stay at home.
And do it
wear a mask if you have a cold.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel like you have a little cough, but you might be okay, put a mask on when you come to work, that kind of thing. And then, you know, now, as it's been around for a couple of years, all of a sudden, you know, if you tell your work, hey, I don't feel good, we'll just come in anyway. You know, we need yeah. you here. We need you here. You know, it's, you know, things have kind of, it didn't take long. I kind of feel like that was the one thing I thought might come out of positive out of this. When people don't feel good, they'll put a mask on. If they don't feel good, they will stay. How many of the other day I didn't feel good, so we postponed it this, and ended up the next day I felt great, you know, just who knows? You know, I just didn't feel that great that day, right? But, I mean, I don't want to get you three guys sick,
right?
You know, so it's like a bit. Society's kind of that faded really quick with society. I feel like it's going away really quick, and I felt like that was one positive that could come out of this horrible thing, is maybe we'd be a little more caring for each other with that kind of stuff, and we just haven't been.
For anyone who can't remotely work, especially, I think businesses have started reverting a lot to. Well, yeah, no, you should stay home if you're sick, but are you really sick? I mean,
yeah.
How about you just come in?
Yeah.
We need you.
Well, then, how are we going to go on if we don't have leaders that are willing to rely on scientists and try to give people the best information they've got and compromise and come up with a solution that's better for us and the world?
Well, you know, solving a problem that has multiple roots is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And
well, it takes an honest
generally
effort.
Speaking, not willing to put in the work and the effort to tackle problems on all of the root fronts. You know? So once they take hold, it can be really, really hard to undo them. You know, it's a very distressing situation.
All right, we're gonna take a break here, and we'll come back with another sponsor, and then we'll go to our second topic.
Folks, you really need to check it out. YouTube Music, Bullcats Rock. check it out. You'll really be so happy. They've got a few new Christmas tunes on there. One, Randall the Red-Nosed Redneck. You'll love it. Check it out. YouTube Music, Bullcats Rock. Thank you. We're back, folks. Thank you for listening to that commercial. Boy, I'm looking forward to hearing the Bullcats.
Man, I tell you, Christmas Eve, I'm playing the Bullcats.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas Eve. Too. The spirit of Christmas. Uh-huh. I'm getting into it.
Uh-huh. Try to get one of them in the studio one day, I hope.
Oh, I think we could. Uh-huh. I think we could. I hear they got a hot new songwriter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lyricist.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
Is it true that the Bullcats have antlers like the reindeer?
Well, the Bullcats are a mythical animal, as I understand.
Are there any special albino powers. Bullcats? And any Bullcats albinos? That's what I want to know.
Well, it's hard to answer that question. Okay. It's kind of like the Chupacabra. A lot of people have their own little conception about what it is. But their music is unmistakable. It's wonderful.
We're all excited, that's for sure. No. So, topic two. We were very loose on this topic. So, favorite Christmas memories, favorite Christmas gifts. I wanted to tell a quick story, and I'm probably going to mess it up, but Mike's here. He can correct it, you know. But we were sitting around a little establishment one day, and it was, I believe my wife was there, I was there, you were there, Mike, obviously, and our friend Barb was there. And we were talking about our favorite Christmases. There's some other people there, I think. And people were bringing up whatever bicycles or whatever. And Barb was having a hard time. She was thinking away, right?
Yeah. Everybody had a favorite Christmas. Everybody got a bicycle or something. Wonderful.
Yeah, a skateboard or something, man. And Barb was thinking, and she came up with her favorite Christmas. And she got a paddleball and an orange. And she was excited about the orange more than anything.
Yeah.
A paddleball and an orange. The paddleball, hell, is probably homemade. You know,
she's 90 some years old.
Yeah,
she grew up during the Depression,
right.
Starving. They put her in a hospital with tuberculosis patients. She was happy to have an orange. It was,
oh,
that
was
the best gift she ever had.
Best gift she ever got. As her favorite Christmas was an orange. So, you know,
she's a wonderful woman.
Put that in perspective, you greedy bastards. All right, who's got something?
Maybe it means that you shouldn't have everything you want all the time.
Yeah.
So
makes it less meaningful.
I can think of a favorite Christmas memory.
All right.
I got tons of toys I can talk about. I made a list. As far as favorite Christmas memory, I remember having this college dream. This dream that lots of college students, I'm sure, have had, where you're discovering that you're having your final exam and just all kinds of things are going wrong, including frequently in my dreams, it was, oh my gosh, I just realized I completely forgot to attend this class the entire semester. You know, just horrible things like that. And then I woke up and I was at grandma's house for Christmas. That was so wonderful. As far as a contrast to
that's beautiful.
Realize that I could let go of that stress for a little while.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I got a lot of pretty fond Christmas memories. Of course, I've been alive for quite a few Christmases. Hope to be for a few more too. But it's funny what, off the top of my head, one of the things I remember a lot is going to buy a Christmas tree. And it's very much kind of a lot like the scene out of A Christmas Story.
Right.
You know, piling into the car, driving through the snow, slushy kind of, go down there, little rinky-dink lot with about 20 trees on it, you know, and going around, checking them all out, looking for just the perfect tree, you know, that whole ritual. And that was, and we went to this for as long as it was there, or at least until I got too old, I guess. We went to the same little lot every time, you know.
Yeah, you didn't go to Christmas Tree
Lane. We didn't go to Christmas Tree World.
Christmas Tree Lane, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't.
You go there. No. Christmas Tree Lane was magical, man. You went there. There was a sleigh ride. They had a big campfire with hot chocolates and ciders and donuts and s'mores, and you'd got your tree and they shook it and they did. It was magical.
Well, we went for the magic. We would pile in the car and just go out and drive around town looking at Christmas lights.
Right.
Not. I mean, the plaza lights, which were great, but just the lights around town, whatever people put on their houses, you know.
We had our childhood, I just feel like it was, when I say our, because I have two sisters, my childhood was split because my father didn't make very much money, and then all of a sudden he became a pressman and made 10 times the money he was making. You know, so there was like a light switch that almost went off, right? So when we were younger, we had no money, so it was always buy the Christmas tree the week before because they were always real cheap. I mean, right now, trees were like, what, $80 or so at like Home Depot. Now they're like all, every tree is $15, come and grab it, you know, because there's only a few days left. And that's when we would get it. And my sister would always want to pick the saddest, ugliest tree because she felt sorry for it. And one year, this is a true story, one year they bought a bush. It was round. It wasn't even, it was the ugliest round tree, dead on one side. This thing, no joke, fell over, and we didn't know it till Christmas. Fell over for like 3 days, and no one knew it, because the damn thing was round, you know.
But it was a tumbleweed.
We never had ornaments, like we have. Both my wife and myself never had many ornaments, so we buy an ornament every year. We have beautiful ornaments, I think, but when I was growing up, we made the paper chain, strung the popcorn, and then my mom would have us like trace things and cut felt, like Christmas trees and things out of felt, like trace a cookie cutter that was a tree or a star, and cut it out of felt and hang it on the tree. And those were our ornaments. And I'm pretty sure the felt and the paper she stole from school because she was a teacher. You know?
Just make it back for all the supplies she furnished for herself, probably.
Probably so. Yeah. Probably so. So, that, but yeah, so the trees were a fun one for me too, yeah.
You know, I remember getting all the regular stuff, like football or some game, but the most memorable thing I remember, and it'll never get it back, but there were a bunch of kids, like 10 kids, would sit in the living room, and one of my sisters would play piano, and we'd sing every Christmas carol in the book, everybody to the top of their lungs.
That's awesome.
And,
yeah.
You know, we'll never go back to that, but it would be wonderful. That's my biggest memory from
that's a great memory.
Christmas.
That's a great memory.
You know, another one that I always liked too is my mother at Christmas time liked to bake cookies. She had a cookie press that you could put out different designs, like camels and poinsettias and
reeds. Yeah, Christmas camel. Everybody loves a Christmas camel.
All that stuff, you know. And we would make tons. She'd bake tons of these cookies, little sugar cookies. My job was to help decorate them, you know, and on the trees we'd put on green icing and a little silver ball at the top and then little nonpareils for the lights, you know. And then she would have saved boxes about the size of Christmas card boxes, you know, and she'd line them with foil and we'd fill them with cookies and put some saran wrap over it. And then we'd drive around to neighbors, people, relatives, whoever, and just gave them a box of cookies for Christmas. You know, it was, and everybody raved about the cookies. They were pretty good. I ate my share.
We went around singing door to door,
hoping
we could get cookies. We weren't handing them
out. Or you should have come to my house.
We were kind of pissed off and we didn't get cookies.
We'd have given you so many cookies, you'd have had to wobble away.
Oh, I wish we would have been there.
So, out of memories, what about toys, gifts?
Toys?
Yeah.
From the community part to the...
the greed. Let's do it.
The consumer greed part.
Let's do it.
Well, I had...
Man, that's a hell of a list.
I didn't...
No, I got three things down.
Didn't necessarily have a great time as far as parenting. But... it was often compensated for with lots of toys. So I had lots of toys. I actually looked up some of the commercials on YouTube.
Oh, fine.
I'm not going to try to pull those out right now. The first one that I could remember was a toy called the Starbird. It was a Milton Bradley electronic spacecraft that around the mid-70s to late 70s, they really got good at microelectronic toy merchandise. And this was designed so that if you turned it on, it made this thrumming, throbbing engine sound. And then it had a sensor inside, basically something like a ball bearing. And if you tilted it upward, the pitch started to rise like it was climbing.
Oh, that's cool.
And if you tilted it and leveled it out again, it leveled off at wherever that pitch was at the time. And then if you tilted it down, it would make a descending.
I don't even remember that. That's awesome.
Me neither. That sounds awesome. Pretty cool.
And it was really cool modular design. So you could take the front cockpit off and the back engine out and put them together to have a smaller craft. And then you could even take the cockpit's outer casing off and just have something that was kind of like a handheld pistol. Because you could also, I forgot to mention this, the ship had a button on the top where you could press it and it would make a laser firing pew 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 noise. And so you could also keep that in the smaller parts as you pared it down. So it was pretty neat. And then I had a Space 1999 Eagle One, which was
huge, that was big.
Of a toy. Wish I still had that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Naturally, and for the most part, Star Trek stuff. But also after Star Wars came out, I had some Star Wars stuff. I definitely had a lot of Star Trek stuff. And if we have time at the end here, I brought some here and tell type stuff that I can pull out.
Oh, nice.
As far as
we'll
Star
make
Trek
time.
Toys.
We'll make time.
Yeah.
My list is pretty short. I mean, I could have made a huge list, but I wanted to narrow it down to top three. So my top three gifts, and not necessarily in this order, were the Evel Knievel Motor Stunt Cycle. Mm-hmm. I have one in the room, in my room. It doesn't work as great as it used to, but you put the motorcycle on the little red winder and you wind it up and then it, boom, the thing takes off, does wheelies, jumps ramps, you know, and I loved it. And then the Rock'em Sock'em Robots game, loved it. And then my Atari, obviously. I truly, truly love the Atari. I love it to this day. It brought arcades to homes, changed the world as we know. It's just and the fact that we got one's crazy because the Atari was $199 in 1979, which is around $899 today. Because mm-hmm. I was kind of looking up that up, and that's insane. It's amazing that we had one, but it was those are my top three. I'm just going top three.
I bought my kids an Atari. It seems like I would have been too stingy to pay that much.
I know. I can't believe my parents. You know, I didn't believe in Santa Claus until
you got the Atari?
No, like fourth grade, my parents literally pulled me aside to have an intervention to be like, look, we can't keep this going on anymore. Like, and I'm like, well, kids at school say it's fake too, but I don't believe it. And they're like, no, listen. And I said, look, there's no way you guys would buy me a new bike. It's not possible, you know. So yeah, I was a late bloomer there, but somehow my parents bought an Atari too. So.
My list is kind of old school.
Mr. Potato Head, where you used a real potato?
I did. No, it wasn't quite that old.
Mr. Potato Head, that was exciting.
I remember the Christmas I got a model train. It was an oval track, you know, and train running around. And I had a few little extras go with it, but we'd run that thing around for hours, putting the disc cars on, you know. That was one thing. I was always kind of into science stuff. So I got a Gilbert chemistry set.
They have arsenic in it?
I don't remember that. It probably did.
I think they did. I looked up
but
a video on those.
We played with that a lot. And then the other thing that I remember getting that I really used a lot was an Erector set.
Oh, yeah.
This is one that had a motor in it. And stuff, so you could do mechanical things, gear assemblages and all that stuff. Oh, yeah.
You were a weird kid.
They were still, Erector sets were still a thing. When I was a kid too, and I had one. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I accidentally skipped over the thing that's the top item of my list, which was Lego.
Oh, Legos, yeah.
Now, we just had Lincoln Logs. Lego wasn't there yet.
Well, back then, Legos didn't have, like, Harry Potter or Star Wars or whatever. Like, they had space Legos, but they weren't. You had a kid, that had two twins up the street, had every space Lego there was. Man, I was jealous of them.
Yeah.
Well, how about you, Mike?
This is kind of memorable.
Did you get a lump of coal?
It was worse than that. It was like a little plastic platform, and you would put all these plastic rockets on there. All these, you know, like a Gemini missile, and you'd glue it on there. And there were about 50 missiles on this platform.
One of those.
And, you know, it's kind of, okay, you got it there. Now you can look at it, I guess, the rest of your. And it was pretty boring after
call
you got out there.
Man,
it seemed like it was blue, most of it. And then I set it on the bed to go to something else and turned around and then sat on top of it. It was all pointing missiles right at my butt, about 50. Anyway, it's funny how you remember, like, the most painful things.
Did it scar you for life?
You did. I think that's why I hate Christmas today.
No. I had one of those, too, but it wasn't a Christmas.
You did have one.
Yeah, and it had, I think it had a... Jupiter C was the big
one. Oh, there were all kinds of
them. A bunch of
it was like 50 injections all at once. It ruined my Christmas prize.
Forget Grandma getting run over by a reindeer.
Yeah, no kidding.
Grandma had it easy.
Rockets up the
rest of them. Grandma got all butt shot by a reindeer.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Anybody got any other memories to add?
You know, you said that you got disabused of the Santa Claus thing, pulled aside. I like to say, this is going to be kind of corny, but I kind of like to say that there actually is a Santa Claus. Now, and I say that because every time somebody goes out of their way to give somebody something, maybe it's somebody in your family, maybe you donate to some kid that wouldn't get anything, get something, okay? As far as that kid is concerned, there is a Santa Claus. It was you.
Yeah. I agree with that. It's a spirit. Unfortunately, it doesn't last past December 26th.
It would be nice if it did.
It's unfortunate.
I was watching The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's my second favorite Christmas Carol movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And at the end, you know, they talk about it, saying, you know, the whole point is to live the Christmas spirit all year round. We don't do that very well, but that's the message.
Yeah, that's my second favorite Christmas Carol. It's a good one.
I've watched it about 10 times so far.
It's super underrated. You know, that one and Muppet Treasure Island, they're both just really underrated. You know, Muppets have a lot to teach us.
Oh, they do.
You know, so anyway, we're going to try to get together in the month of January again. And I think our first topic or serious topic is going to be women's rights. Is that where we're still on?
We're
going to try to have some guests.
We think that should still be a topic. First of all, because it shouldn't have to be a topic anymore.
That's a good point. I think we talked about trying to get some guests.
Yeah.
So that there's a female perspective in this conversation, since it relates to them.
Seems far more appropriate, yes.
Yeah. And then we really haven't talked about our second topic. You guys have anything in particular? We can just discuss it and surprise people. Unless you guys have something.
Locally, and it's probably a problem across the country. I was talking to Dennis earlier about homelessness and different solutions or what's working, where,
that's
if anything's working.
That's going to be our fun topic?
That's fun, isn't it? I didn't know we had a fun topic. I thought we had a second topic.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we can do that.
Fun? No, that ain't fun. No, let's do a fun topic.
Talk about New Year's resolutions.
Lollipop Lane.
Oh, New Year's resolution. Yeah. I gave
what
those
we got
up
for Christmas.
That's my resolution.
Yeah.
So, I don't have any
What as a society should we be making? What would be a good New Year's resolution for humanity
as
a whole?
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Okay.
I like it. We're going to do it. So I hope that somebody listened to this.
I think there's one singular answer for everyone, isn't it? like peace or goodwill to man?
Well,
be more specific.
Yeah, you need to flesh it out a little bit.
Don't be an asshole. Be nice. Don't be an asshole. Something like that. All right. Say good night, Mike.
Good night, everyone. Are you, Dennis?
No.